Hello and welcome to It All Starts at the Dock. I'm Bob Troublecock. I'm the executive editor of Modern Materials Handling, and this is the first of two podcasts brought to you by RightHeight that will look at the challenges and best practices associated with dock management. Now, if you're not familiar with them, RightHeight created the vehicle restraint industry in 1980 with the invention of the original dock lock. The company continues to reinvent today's standards for loading dock safety. From constant light communication inside and out, to active loading verification, and proactive drive approach safety, RightHeight helps provide 24/7 safety inside and outside of your facility. RightHeight, the industry leader in quality, safety, and security at the dock. Joining me today is David Gieves. David is a senior project manager with a focus on healthcare services at St. Ange. And while David's focus today is hospitals and healthcare facilities, he's designed his share of warehouse docks over the years. So David, welcome.
Thank you, Bob. Looking forward to the discussion.
Well, so are we, and we're thrilled to have you here today. So I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that you can't run an efficient warehouse without efficient receiving and shipping operations. Kind of all starts at the dock. After all, you take too long to unload or load a truck these days, and you're going to get dinged by your trucking partners. Inventory stuck on the receiving dock may be in the facility, but it's not available to promise. And it really doesn't matter how fast you fill and pack an order if you can't load a truck. In these two episodes, David and I are first going to explore the challenges around the dock. And then in the second episode, we're going to talk about some of the best practices he's observed over the years, both in the healthcare practice and then also in other industries that he's worked at. So David, let's get started. First question. Now, this is going to seem like the obvious smack yourself on the forehead question, but why is the dock so important to warehousing and distribution?
Oh, good question, Bob. I think it's the starting point and the ending point of everything else that happens inside the building. If you can't get the raw materials in or you can't get the finished product out, then everything in between, regardless of how efficiently designed and operated, gets penalized. It's also the part of the operation you don't completely control, as outside carriers can impact your operation. So planning for that choreography between your shipping partners is vital.
That's really interesting when you said it's the part that you don't completely control. I had not thought about it that way, but that's a really good point. So John Hill works with y'all at St. Ange, and John has been a mentor to me over the years. And I don't know if you've ever, if you've been around long enough to hear the presentation that John did for many years at ProMat and Modex, but he would say he can walk into a warehouse, run a gloved finger along a rack and tell you how well, you know, the facility is operated by how much dust was on his finger, when he ran it along the rack. So you walk into a facility. What are the characteristics of good dock operations that, you know, you might notice, just like John's running the finger along the rack, that you might notice when you walk in? What's a characteristic of the company that gets it?
Yeah, I agree. Safe and efficient operations are really easy to spot. It starts with the facility design. If designed correctly and subsequently, quote unquote, operationalized correctly, things should run pretty smoothly. So we look for things like dock door to staging ratios. In other words, having enough space to unload and unload or load and unload your trucks, having the proper material handling equipment available, the proper dock equipment, and then all the safety protocols that you notice right away, things like barriers, safety barriers, fall protection, lighting, and signage.
Are some of those overlooked? It's funny when you mentioned the staging area. I remember actually hearing a presentation by Walt Sedlak at RightHeight that I always remembered, where he was talking about going into a facility that had that was a greenfield facility, and they were really proud of their dock operations, and said that, you know, for years we didn't have enough staging space in our old facility. So, you know, we've got the full 40 feet there. And then he asked them, well, how big are the trailers that you're getting in today? and it dawned on them that they're getting 53-foot trailers. So they like designed for an old spec that wasn't big enough without thinking through how big the trailers they were receiving then. So I just wondered, you know, when you mentioned some of those things, do they get taken for granted and too often ignored?
Yeah, I think they do. Staging space is a great example, because if it's undersized or oversized, it's easy to spot. And it really has an impact right away for everything coming in and everything going out.
So let's look at the other side of that. What are the characteristics of poor dock management? And is it different for receiving and shipping?
Yeah, I think these conditions are also easy to spot. And I just alluded to it a second ago. You'll see trucks queuing in the yard due to incorrect door counts or backed up loading or unloading areas, like I just mentioned. It's either the staging areas are either bursting at the seams because they're undersized, or they're completely empty because they're oversized. You see things like poor lighting, incorrect fixed equipment at the dock, and an overall just chaotic feel because the connection between the dock and the interior operation is kind of out of sync.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things we should consider. You've mentioned dock doors, right? I'm going to build a new facility. I'm putting a warehouse together. How do I determine the number of dock doors I need to have efficient, you know, receiving and shipping operations?
Yeah, good question. I think once you have all the inputs to the dock calculations, the math is pretty straightforward. But I think you need a number of those inputs. So you need daily volume. So it's how much product is received and shipped daily. This could be pallets in and pallets out as one example, but everything down to the parcel or box has an impact. You also need to know how much stuff is on each inbound load and outbound load. This is kind of the product per truck. You need to know how long it takes to load and unload a truck. We call this kind of the dwell time. The dwell time is kind of the interaction of the truck with the dock. We also look at how many minutes of each hour at each dock is available for the operation. We call this dock efficiency. You know, if you have 60 minutes in an hour, all those 60 minutes aren't available. There's a lot of other things that happen with the truck maneuvering, bills of lading, truckers even making a cell phone call when they're at the dock. We also look at how many hours the dock operates. So this is, am I an 8-hour shift, am I 2 shifts, am I 3 shifts, am I 24/7 operation? And then once I know kind of each of those elements, I can really just put them into an equation and calculate the number of docks and the number of dock turns I need per day.
David, since we were talking about staging and staging area and, you know, sizing, is there a similar kind of, you know, either factors I take into or formula for deciding the size of my staging area? Because when I go into facilities, I see staging areas of all different sizes.
Yeah, there is a formula. So, I mean, not necessarily a formula, but there's a way to manage it. I mean, like you mentioned earlier, having the size of truck known based on what's coming in that truck. And then if I know that, and it's pallets as an example, it's really easy to calculate the length of the staging lane. But again, those spaces might be fluid throughout the day. At one point of the day, they might be used for inbound receipt of raw materials. And then another part of the day, they might be used for outbound receipt, kind of as we talk about U-flow and flow through dock design.
We know today that maximizing truck turns and, you know, minimizing dwell time, both of which you mentioned earlier, they're critical, you know, especially when access to trucks and drivers is tight. One of the things that I hear when people talk about transportation, you know, and they say, well, how do I make sure that I'm, you know, getting truckers and deliveries? And they say, you know, be a good partner, make sure you get those trucks out. So how do unique operations better understand truck turns and dwell time? And how do I design around that?
Yeah, I mentioned it quickly a minute ago, but dwell time, or the time the truck is interacting with the dock, that's the critical element to dock design. So we use REs, or reasonable expectancies, to calculate the time needed to load and unload a truck based on a variety of conditions. In other words, we build the operation based on the individual tasks and elements that all add up to create this expected time it takes to unload a truck. So if I'm using a fork truck versus a pallet jack, if I'm unloading pallets versus parcels, or whatever else might be on that truck, I kind of build each of those elements up. I calculate how much time it takes me to unload that truck, and then that helps me kind of develop the dwells and the truck turns, and ultimately decide how many dock doors I need and how much staging space I need, like we've been talking about all along.
I want to talk about equipment. You know, you've used the term fixed equipment a couple of times, and I want to ask you this in two ways, because one of the other things that you referenced early on is safe dock operations. So, and I think those are two different things. So, let's start with the fixed equipment that's needed for successful dock operations.
Yeah, I did refer to it a couple of times. The difference, really, when we say fixed equipment, that is obviously, I think the term kind of alludes to it, is the stuff that stays in place. So these are your dock levelers, which allow for a minimum range of interface between the truck and the dock. Mm-hmm. We also have things like scissor lifts, which give you more of the full range of access to trucks. So if you get Sprinter vans or you get small box truck or like a FedEx truck, we can easily access that as well. We have things like truck restraints, which hold the truck in place. A lot of people don't think about that. As you're driving a fork truck off and on a trailer all day, it's going to creep. So we want to make sure we restrain that truck to the dock. And things like dock bumpers to protect your building, dock seals to protect you from the weather, and things like that. As opposed to non-fixed equipment or mobile material handling equipment, which is obviously the things that roll and move, such as fork trucks and pallet jacks. And then just building off the fixed equipment a little bit, then we also have, instead of that big stuff, we also have fall safety, right? We have guarding for employees and equipment. We have proper lighting. We even have things like floor striping that kind of connects us to that staging space we've been talking about all along.
Are you also seeing, and this would, I think, fall under the fixed equipment, maybe not specific to the dock, but to the staging area. One of the things that I've seen as space becomes important and, you know, loads are backing up, is people putting in either, you know, rack systems or even, you know, small automated storage and retrieval systems where I can stage pallets for a load in the ASRS. And then when the truck comes, you know, they can spit out the 25 or 40 pallets, whatever's going to fit on that truck. Just for that load. Are you seeing any emerging practices around storage at the dock to speed up operations?
Yeah, I think that's been pretty consistent over the years. It really relates to kind of the velocity of the movement of the material. So if pallets are coming in and I need to flow those through that staging area quickly, I could use something like pallet flow rack or even, you know, multiple lanes of floor storage to do that. So, you know, case flow rack, pallet flow rack, whatever it takes kind of keep that product moving, because everything that sits, you know, costs money.
And then on the safe, and I think you hit on some of those when you're talking about fixed equipment, but from a safety standpoint, because, you know, at the dock, you've got big trailers coming in, you got a lot of areas where somebody could get hurt. What are the characteristics of a good safe dock operation?
Yeah, I did touch on them a moment ago. I think lighting is always important, right? We want lighting in the staging area so there's good visibility, but also inside the truck. So having lights that pivot and shine inside the back of the truck is important.
Okay.
Fall safety, I mentioned scissor lifts as one of these fixed equipment pieces. So imagine you're inside the building and that scissor lift drops down 4 feet to get out to that truck tarmac. I got to make sure I have guarding available so that somebody can't walk or fall into that pit as well. Floor striping is important, not only so I put the product in the right place, but keep the people out of the place where the product is going to go so that we don't have any conflict between material handling equipment and general staff.
Maybe one last kind of equipment question, and then I'll get to the last question for the episode. But, you know, the other important thing about when I'm at the dock, particularly, I think, on the shipping side, is making sure I put the right stuff on the right truck, right? I've got all these pallets staged. Some of the things you just talked about, if I've got a staging area, you know, I've seen in areas where they've got a staging area for Walmart, a staging area for Target, a staging other for another big box store. But are there best practices just to ensure the accuracy of what I'm doing at the dock?
Absolutely. And I think that's, it's really consistent with just scanning. Right. So I need to scan, when I scan the order and I scan the product and I scan the location and I scan the truck, which is all related, it's kind of like a foolproof method for making sure the right stuff goes on the right truck.
So last question for this episode, just From your experience, what are some of the things that are often overlooked during dock planning?
Good question. I think with my healthcare background, we think a lot about the operations waste side of things, which is often overlooked when you think about how many, as we talked earlier, how many doors do I need? I think about waste. So there's a large amount of staff in a big distribution center or in a hospital, and a large amount of staff equals a large amount of trash and a lot of recycling needs. And even that operation within the building, whether it's a retail e-com operation or it's a manufacturing operation, there's waste associated with that operation. So I'm going to have a lot of waste coming out of the building that I need doors dedicated to. I need trash compactors. I need recycling compactors. I need like construction or manufacturing waste systems that all add up to that door calculation we were talking about earlier. And think about in healthcare and waste, not only do we have the waste I just mentioned, then we got regulated medical waste, we got chemotherapy waste, we got pharmaceutical wastes. And when you think about how bad those waste streams are when they interact with the clean things coming in, we want to make sure we separate that for clean and soiled separation, and then also just have the dock capacity to deal with the outbound as well as the inbound.
So that would include also, you know, I grew up in the pallet industry. So the one thing I always look at when I go into a facility is, do they have the trailer dedicated, you know, trailer in a dock dedicated to pallets that are going to go to a recycler or, you know, go to trash or whatever. So it would include the kind of things that I'm going to and people are collecting, you know, plastic and strapping and things like that, that are often dedicated to a trailer as well. So that's that's kind of the kind of thing that you're referring to when you're talking about waste, in addition to the regulated waste you're referring to in the healthcare industry.
Yeah, and that's one way to do it. You could either use a trailer and a door to kind of move that waste out, or you could have specialized equipment, like I mentioned, like self-contained compactors or recycling units that kind of handle that without the outbound trailer, just a little bit different because I can compact it and make less, you know, I can pick it up and deal with it less often if I'm compacting it. But, you know, to your point too, empty pallet storage above the dock doors is something we see a lot. So kind of using that available cube above the docks themselves to store empty pallets and things of that nature.
Great. Thank you, David. Now that's all the time we have today. But again, I want to thank David Gives for for this conversation, and Right Height for sponsoring this episode. But remember, this is just the first of two episodes on best practices at the dock. I hope you'll join us again for part two. David and I are going to record it tomorrow. For Modern Materials Handling and Right Height, I'm Bob Troublecock. Thanks again, David.
Thank you, Bob.